This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. This half hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson. They are my intellectual property lawyers, and they should be yours. Well, I am so excited. I have today a writer who I admire so much, and I was reminded of his work when I recently interviewed Clive Cussler for his 85th birthday, and that's, you know, somebody who is, I would call, a bit of an overachiever, Boyd Morrison. Hi, Boyd.
Hi, Patsy. How are you doing?
Wow. You know, I always tell writers, oh, you need a platform. You need to have something to build your career on, and I think you are like the overachiever of overachievers. I mean, you are an author, of course, who gets to work with Clive Cussler, which is like the best. And then, of course, you're an actor, you're an engineer. And the best thing of all, I think, is that you're a Jeopardy champion.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It was fun. I had a good time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, as an avid watcher, it's so exciting always to just watch the show and to think that you're a champion. That's fantastic. Well, as I said, you know, you are a little bit of an overachiever there. I don't know where to start, because you have a PhD in engineering, and I think 11 U.S. patents, right?
16
now. Okay. Well, you beat me.
Gotten a few more recently.
Oh boy, I only have four. I have four U.S. patents, but
Yeah. In what?
Oh, a medical device. Medical devices.
Ah,
yeah. So
good.
I'm multitasking too, but not quite in the same level as you, because although it's funny, I was reading about, you know, it was so cute that you got to, you know, you were working at NASA Space Station in Johnson Space Center, and you got to fly on the Vomit Comet, which
that actually came up on Jeopardy.
Tell people what it is.
The Vomit Comet is used to train astronauts for zero gravity. It's a plane that's converted from a Air Force tanker plane, and they've taken out the entire middle, you know, the fuselage is covered completely with foam, except for a few seats at the back, and they fly between 20,000 and 40,000 feet. And when they push over at the top, you get about 25 seconds of zero gravity.
I know. You know, I was at the Space Center because I wrote the script for Apollo astronaut Walt Cunningham's book, The All-American Boys. And I wrote the script, and of course I had all sorts of backstage type of viewing of the Space Center, and I got to see lots of things like that. And I wanted to ride on the Vomit Comet, but I was pregnant at the time, and they didn't think that was a good idea.
Yeah, that would probably not be
the right time to do it. But it was it's amazing. And so, what a diversified career for you to be able to pull all of this in, and I can see why Clive Cussler likes to work with you.
Well, I definitely get to use a lot of the research skills that I built up. You know, I need that a lot because, as you know, with Clive's books, there's a lot of history and technology and exotic locations. So takes a lot of research to get those as accurately as we can.
And you do all the fun things that are in the book? Scuba diving,
some
and
of them.
Rafting,
yeah,
and diving, bungee jumping, and skydiving, which I love myself. So, you know, it's just fantastic that he came to you. How did they find you?
Well, he was looking for a new co-author in the Oregon Files series, and you read a couple of my books and love them. And so one day, out of the blue, I get a call from my agent that she said, how would you like to work with Clive Cussler? And
oh.
I said, well, duh. And she said, yeah. And she said, okay, well, he's going to call you in 2 minutes.
Wow.
And I've been reading his books for, you know, since the 80s. And so he's like my writing hero. And the thought of him calling me was just amazing. And sure enough, 2 minutes later, he called me and said, hey, Boyd, I loved your book and wondered if you wanted to come write the Oregon Files with me. And I said, that would be awesome. And he said, okay, we're going to fly you down here in a couple of weeks and get started. And that was literally the extent of our conversation.
Well, that's fun. I mean, he's first of all, he's absolutely delightful. I so enjoyed talking to him. And
he's a great guy, and he's really laid back and really funny, and he's just a natural storyteller.
So, but you know, that's not how I first discovered you, because I'm one of those people who read one of your a book with three titles, because back,
yes.
the Palmyra Palmyra Effect.
The Palmyra Impact.
Palmyra Impact. Because I'm a great fan of Agatha Christie's, and I don't know if you have read a lot of Agatha Christie, but of course she was married to an archaeologist, and she spent a lot of time in Palmyra, and several of her books were inspired by their time there. Some of her best mysteries.
In the Syrian Palmyra?
Yeah, in the Syrian Palmyra.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that title, I read everything about Palmyra. So I thought it was going to be, you know, set in Syria. I thought it was going to be an archaeological type of thing. And so, I got that.
You quickly found out it took place on the other side of the world.
Exactly. And, of course, that was when it came out as a Kindle edition. And it had a change of title, which was what?
Called Rogue Wave in the U.S.
That's
and it's
right.
Called the Tsunami Countdown in the U.K.
So
yes, it has many, many titles.
Many, many titles. Because, as I said, the Palmyra one, I was fooled. I thought it was going to be an archaeological book. But it turned out to be one of the fastest-paced thrillers I've ever read.
Great. I'm glad you weren't disappointed that it wasn't what you thought.
Oh, no, not at all. It is an amazing book. And, of course, it was your very first book, right?
It was the second book I wrote.
Second book you wrote.
Yeah, the first book I wrote was The Catalyst. But this one was the first book I wrote after I quit my job to become a full-time writer.
And it took off because then now... You know, with the once they changed the title, and I think the reviews were excellent because, as I said, it's very well written and it's very exciting, and it led you on to more, more and more
books.
Thank
you.
So you know, so it's wonderful that you're we could say you're a standalone author, and then of course you have the fun of working with Clive on his other books, but. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, this is a program for everybody who likes to know the story behind the book. So the story behind you is that Palmyra was you self-published it, right?
Yeah, I had three books that it was one of three books that I had written, and I had an agent, but we couldn't get my books published. So... This is around the time the Kindle 2 was coming out, and Amazon was just starting their self-publishing platform on the Kindle. And so I said to my agent, well, what do you think about me putting my books up on the Kindle for sale? And she said, well, why not? You got nothing to lose. Why not try it? And so I did. And, you know, this is the early days. This is in 2009. So nobody really knew if you could make any money self-publishing books, e-books, and so it was me and like four other people doing this, and within 3 months, all three of my books were in the top 100 or 150 books being sold on the Amazon platform, and all of a sudden it made people realize, hey, maybe you can make money at this. And that was the time that Simon & Schuster swooped in and picked me up and gave me a 4-book contract.
Because it was, as you said, the early days and nobody knew. And I was one of those early people to embrace. I got the very first Kindle because I'm so excited. Well, partly because, you know, I already have 5,000 books and my husband was sort of complaining, you can't bring another book in. So I thought, well, okay. So the minute the Kindle came out, I got it. And, you know, I was watching for every Kindle title that came out. And that's why when I saw your title, I thought, oh boy, I've got an archaeology book. But, you know, the wonderful thing is, let's talk a little bit about this, because you can tell people a little bit about this book. And the great thing about Kindle is it's still available and you can still go and get it.
So, of course.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the book, because I think it's just great.
So the book is now called Rogue Wave, if you look for it on ebook. It's about a assistant director of the Tsunami Warning Center in Hawaii who gets an anomalous reading that one of the islands that they get the tsunami warnings from all of a sudden stops broadcasting. And they don't know what's happened to it, but he has to make a quick decision about whether a tsunami is coming or not. And he has an hour before it's scheduled to hit Hawaii, and he doesn't know why a tsunami would occur. And you come to find out in the story that there's a reason that it came so suddenly and nobody knew it was coming. So he has an hour to make this decision about if he's going to cause this false alarm that's going to cost millions of dollars and cause everybody a lot of heartache, or to actually call the tsunami warning and save the lives of a million people, including his wife and daughter who are on Waikiki Beach that day. His wife is the manager of a hotel, and his wife and his daughter is on the beach, of course, because it's Memorial Day. So the story takes place almost in real time, and you find out that a series of mega tsunamis are heading towards Hawaii. He has to go and not only save all the people that he's responsible for in his job, but also his family.
As I said, it is just a great read. You know, it's fast-paced. And it's, I think, you know, I don't know if, did it come out before or after the big tsunami in Indonesia?
Well, it's funny, when I knew it was going to be the first book I wrote when I quit my job to be a full-time writer. And so I started researching it in 2003, and I actually went to the Tsunami Warning Center, and at that time it was kind of a sleepy place. So the director took me and my wife on a tour of the entire facility, and we spoke to him for 3 hours. And I told him the idea for the book, and he said, yeah, that pretty much could happen the way you said, which is kind of scary. And then about 2 weeks before I quit my job, the Southeast Asia tsunami happened and killed 250,000 people. And I wondered if I should go forward with the story or not, because I didn't want to seem like I was, you know, capitalizing on a tragedy, but the story really spoke to me, so I continued on, and it didn't come out until a number of years later. But the weird thing is that it came out in December of 2010, and 2 months later, the Japanese tsunami happened, and that was the first time we really had video of a major tsunami hitting a populated area. And so, you know, I had people write to me saying, I was reading your book and then just turned on the TV and saw this tsunami happening in Japan, and it looked just like you were describing.
As I said, it's so wonderful when things are on Kindle and or that you can still buy it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It is just one of your wonderful books. You have a series that has basically a dynamic duo of Tyler Locke and Grant Westfield, And how many books in that series do you have?
There are four.
Four now. There's an Ark, the Vault,
the Roswell Conspiracy, and the Loch Ness Legacy.
Oh, I love Roswell Conspiracy.
Yeah, it's always fascinated me, so I definitely wanted to include that in a story, and that's where I got my archaeology fix, writing that series. In the Roswell Conspiracy, you'll actually see my experience from the vomit comic come into play in a critical action scene in the story.
The two characters that you've developed, Tyler Locke and Grant Westfield, I think if anyone who likes Clive Cussler's Dirk Pitt certainly, recognize that you have this ability to really develop a character, which is so nice, when a writer can really bring a characters to life like you do.
Well, thank you. And they were actually created because I was an engineer by training and hadn't seen many engineers as heroes in thriller novels. So I wanted to kind of do for engineers what Indiana Jones did for archaeologists and kind of make them cool action heroes. And so Tyler Locke is a mechanical engineer and Grant is an electrical engineer, but they were also both in the Army as former combat engineers. So they have some abilities to fight the bad guys, believably.
And they do.
And have expertise in explosives. And so, there's always a lot of gunfights and explosions. And I think that's one of the reasons Clive, thought I would be a good fit with him because, I kind of learned at the feet of the master just by reading his books.
When you're working on with Clive's books, your mind has to be completely on those ones, right? You're not writing both the books at the same time.
Well, no, not at the same time. I'm just finishing up working with Clive on our third Oregon Files book, and then when that's done, I think I'll have time to work on my own book before we get started on the next one. So it's more of a sequential thing. I don't think I could work on them simultaneously and go back and forth. That would be
too much.
That would be really hard.
It's so wonderful to get to talk to you because, as I said, you are an inspiration to many writers who are always worried about if they do publish something on Kindle, will a publisher ever take them seriously? And it just...
Yeah, I think that's changing.
Absolutely. So, a writer, if they have a book that's a standout, and I know that the minute your book came out, it was noticed because it was just such a good read that people went around talking about it. And I can see, why it eventually led to a contract for four books because when you've written something really good and even if you self-publish it, it's a way to get out there and to get noticed by the big publishers.
Well, I think, the one thing I've learned is that everybody asks for what the secret formula is about how to write or how to market your book or how to get published. And I just say, write a great book. Because everything else will take care of itself if you do that.
Exactly, because people...
Easy to say and hard to do.
Yeah, it is. It is hard, but it is, I think, as I said, it is an inspiration to people to know that it can be done, and you've certainly made it by leaps and bounds and have such a fantastic career now, and on top of every other career that you've ever had. It's like... oh.
Yeah, or you could say that I just can't stick with any one thing.
Well, I don't know.
Which is actually good for a writer because I won't ever get bored.
That's good. Well, you're an actor, and of course you're gorgeous. By the way, I should tell all of my listeners they can go to your website. What's your website?
It's BoydMorrison.com.
BoydMorrison.com, and they can see photos of you, and they'll see that you're gorgeous, and I can see why you're an actor, and. So you like acting too, huh?
Yeah, in fact, I start rehearsal on a play in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be doing that in December, performing for 3 weeks in a mystery comedy.
Wow. Okay. Where's that going to be?
I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be here in Seattle at the Ren Civic Theater.
Okay. Well, a real Renaissance man. And so it's just, I'm always so thrilled to talk to writers who have made it and, you know, have really shined through. And I think you do. And I just want to tell Clive when you see him next that I love him. You know, he is so generous and so good to all writers. And when he was on my program, he was so thoughtful and so encouraging to young writers, which I think is so important.
He is, and I will certainly tell him. And I appreciate you being a very early reader of mine. That's great to hear.
Well, you know, it was by accident, but after everyone after that was like, when is it coming out? And when is it coming out? So when is the next book coming out? Do you have a release date?
I think the one that we're finishing up now is coming out next Christmas.
Okay.
2017.
Okay, well, perhaps then you'd come back on the program and talk about it.
I would be delighted.
We would just love to hear more about it, okay? So take care, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
And we'll be right back with my next guest. Go to my new website. It's radio-joyonpaper.com, and you can listen to the archives of the programs and see all of the wonderful people I've interviewed. And remember that one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. So join me next Tuesday at 11 for Joy on Paper. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it. Okay, bye.